Between 8 and 10 guys.
Rafael comes.
For sure. Not, and they don't come always, you should know.
They don't always
come. How many people show up in that Sabbath morning?
About 8 to 10. Okay, guys. Good evening, gentlemen. We are continuing the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Chav Vav, Halacha Chav, Chapter 26, Law 20, in the Mishnayim text, page 280-281. With God's help, we'll finish Chapter 26, and we will move into Tchum. The next two chapters, 27, 28, is going to be Tchum Shabbos, which will be very interesting for those of you who go to cottages in the summer. It's very Nogei Lamaisa. Which we'll talk about, but first we've got to finish the chapter. Okay, the last four halachas are going to deal with, lo aleinu, dead people. A dead person is muktzah. Why? Because there's nothing you can do. This dead person has no purpose. Right? Besides, you couldn't even, you know, God forbid, you couldn't use it for any, you can't have benefit from a
We're
dead
not
person.
Say paperweight.
You can't, right? You're not allowed to. Forget about it. You're not allowed to have benefit from a dead body.
Yeah.
So it's totally muktzah. On the other hand, there's another aspect that's called respect for the dead. So that's another factor. So now we have to balance the two factors. On the one hand, you can't move the body because it is totally muktzah. There's no inherent use of a dead body except to be buried, which you can't do on Shabbos. The other hand, there's a desecration to the body if it starts to, what do you call it, decompose. That's also not respectful to the body. So how are we going to balance those two factors is what these four halachas are going to tell us. We should never need to know these halachas.
Do you have a funeral on a yontif?
Well, nowadays we can't have funerals, but in Eretz Yisrael, they have a second day of yontif.
They don't have a second day.
But there's no burials on Shabbos or Yontif.
So here you could have 3 days.
It used to be long ago, they did have second day Yontif burials.
Right.
Used to be long ago, but now you can't.
The second day of Rosh Hashanah doesn't.
It's unionized now.
It could have been 3-4 days a body could be.
Three days. 3.5, 4. Could be four, technically.
So that's a problem, isn't it? Yeah. 4 days, so you know, you're getting pretty right there.
So we're going to talk about it. That's why they have morgues, right?
Why did they used to do it and now they don't?
Because it was the cemetery wasn't so far away, and you could walk there. You could there were ways to do it. Now it's way too hard. It's not possible. Anyway, let's get into the halachas. Chav. Av al pi she'osur l'taltal l'sameis b'Shabbos. Even though it's forbidden for a person to carry a dead body on Shabbos, still you could do things to prevent it from the decomposition. Sochin also, you can anoint the body. Umadichin also, and you can wash the body with water. Now, because you're not carrying it, you're just touching it. Remember, muktzah is only prohibition of movement, but you can touch something. Technically, this thing on Shabbos is muktzah. I could do this. I could touch it.
Could you lift the arm?
No, you can't. So the body is limp on the ground. Let's say this is the body. Okay, this is the body. So you can put oil on the body. You can wash the body with water, but you can't move the limbs. You can't move the body. But if whatever you can reach by just doing what's there, you know, that you can put on. And that's what he says in the next line. But you can't move a body part because that's moving muktzah.
Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to wash
it? To preserve it.
To preserve it. Shouldn't decompose.
Water helps it from preserving.
Whatever.
I guess they knew what would be better for it.
It's lav dafka water. I'm just giving examples. Whatever is necessary, if you have to put something on the body, to smear something on the body, that's permitted. Now, oil and water are permitted. There's no other isurim involved. There's no isur putting water on the body. The only problem is don't move the body.
You can't smear anyway.
Well, oil is anointing, right?
Oil is not considered smearing.
That's right.
Oil is too liquidy.
We picked examples that were liquidy.
Yeah.
Now, what else can you do? Let's say the body died on a pillow. Not unusual to have a head on a pillow. But pillows are warm. Pillows give off heat. And that could cause the head to decompose. So what you prefer to do is to remove the pillow. So what you can do is, you can just move the pillow, and then the body just comes down. So now I have not moved the head. It's an indirect movement which is permitted. And why do you want to do that? Kideshe mutal al chol, either that should be resting on the ground, because sometimes the body is on the ground. The ground is cold. Because if you have to wait, you don't want it to decompose. You want the head to be on a colder surface than on a warmer surface. Next, umevin clay maker, uklay matochos, you can bring utensils that bring coldness, that cause coldness, I guess maybe, and metal ones. I guess certain utensils carry more coldness than others. Umaynichon ol hakreis, you can put it on the belly. Why? Kidesh lo yispach, so it won't swell and get all disgusting. So I'm taking a utensil that I'm allowed to carry, let's say a cold metal utensil, put it on the belly, keeps the body cold. I'm not moving the body, and that's for the sake of keeping the body more intact.
So nowadays you can put an ice pack.
Again, yeah, so that's other examples of things you could put on, precisely. Upokakin es nekavav, and you can close up any orifices that are open, so no wind, air should get in, because if that gets in, it will cause decomposition to come quicker.
Isn't that moving the body?
No, though? You're closing it, putting something, put a cotton ball in the nose's face, I don't know. You're sealing it, but you're not moving.
So you can't move the lips together or something like
that's
that.
That's what he's going to talk about in a second. Sorry. You can close it up. Stopping up isn't moving the body part. Vikoshnas alechi, and you can tie up the jaw, however, let's say the jaw was open. So this is what you can do. You can tie it up, lo shiyala, not to raise it up to close the jaw. So yosi, that shouldn't open further. Ve'ein ma'atzmes, ein v'shabes, you can't close the eyes either, even though normally it's customary to close the eyes. Can't close eyes, you'd be moving the body. You might say, well, I'll tell you what, the person's dying, I guess I better do all these things before he croaks. Before he dies, let me do it right before. You can't do that either. Why? Because a person's that deathly ill, any touching of the body could cause him to die a few seconds earlier, which you can't do either. So therefore, you're stuck. So if he's left with his eyes open, they stay open the whole Shabbos.
You can just cover the face with a blanket.
If you want to cover the face. Yeah, I don't know if that would be the best thing.
Here it says something from the Zohar.
Yeah, it says
what? It says related based on the Zohar, it has become customary to close a corpse eye and straighten its limbs.
How do you like that?
It's
customary to close a corpse's eyes and straighten its limbs on the Sabbath for the figures that will lead to danger.
What danger?
It's Kabbalistic.
Kabbalistic danger.
All right, so Mishabura says also. Okay, yeah. So we paskin that you could do that. Okay, good to know. Chaval, next issue. Meis hamutal b'chamo. If, God forbid, the dead person is lying out in the hot sun, so that's going to surely decompose quickly. Maniach alav kikar otinok. So here's the case. We can put a challah or a baby on top of the dead person. Right? It's interesting. The Gemara Shabbos says, we know who's the most famous person who died on Shabbos, one of the most famous. David HaMelech died on Shabbos. So they asked Shlomo what to do. They said, your father's dead and he's lying out in the sun. What are we going to do with him? So he said, put a bread or a baby on top of him, then you can carry father away. Because Reddy said, if you're carrying two things, right, and you have a dover that's mutter and dover that's usser, we allow you to carry them, even though normally we look at what's the more valuable thing. But here, for the needs of the dead, we're more lenient. Okay? So now you pick up the body with the person died on a bed, put the chal on the bed and take the whole bed or whatever, take the cot, whatever, and with that bread or the baby.
To a cooler place.
Yes, that's the idea. Umetaltalin. And now you can carry it, the dead person, through the bread that you are allowed to carry. Let's say there's a fire in a chotzer, in a courtyard where there's a dead body. Now we know there's a concept that just like we learned, we're lenient in terms of saving food, because a person's very confounded when he sees a great monetary loss coming. Remember, if we don't help the guy out a little bit, what might the person do? He'll put out the fire. Put out the fire is the worst. So we have to be a little bit lenient to give the person a comfort level that they go, okay, you can imagine, God forbid, somebody's relative is dying and the fire is going to burn the body. So, you know, the person doesn't get a reasonable solution, he'll put out the fire. So you have to give him some eitzah. So therefore, what do you do? If there's a fire there, again, you take a bread or a baby on top and carry it. This is not a question now of, because it's going to get, in the sun and get all decomposed. This question is going to get burnt. Now, what if they don't have a bread or a child now? By the fire case, if there's no baby or child, you save it from the fire anyway. Why? Because Shema Yavala Chabas, maybe he would put out the fire then. Why? And here's the rule. He's confounded over his dead. Shaloi said it shouldn't burn. And therefore, we don't allow him to do that. Right? So therefore, Vlohitir Latalta with Kikur Tinuk, Ella Lames Bilvad. This leniency of using a baby and a piece of bread to put on something that's mukta is only allowed for a dead person, this leniency. Not for candle stick trays, guys, okay? Because a person is confounded for the dead person over here.
Wouldn't you put a ring if you didn't have like a piece of challah or something?
Okay, you guys are really fixated on this. Somebody sent me an email from out of town who's following the Rambam. And he had a whole thing on this. No, the candlestick tray is designated.
Yes.
For candles.
I'm talking about the dead body. Wouldn't you put a ring? You have no challah. So you put a ring on the
You don't
on the
have
dead body.
To. If there's a fire, you can take it
no,
without
but forget
anything
the,
else.
Forget the fire. Just to move them. Isn't a ring more valuable than a challah?
I don't know if people would want to put a ring there.
Person could be wearing a ring. What if he was wearing a ring?
I'd rather put my ring there than my baby there. That's not true.
A piece of bread and then make a bite out of it.
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, you can ask another question. I mean, it never ends.
You know, with the candlesticks?
But no, the whole thing with the corpses. I mean,
it's a Gemara. It's not the Rambam.
I understand. He's
the Rambam didn't make this up.
No, I know. He's just codifying it. He's bringing it together.
Why
a challah?
It's a challah.
You have to know.
It's a circumstance.
Because it's a common thing that's around on Shabbos.
You do have,
people
don't
die.
You? It's right there. A challah, right? It could be. If you want a ring, you could probably use a ring also.
Yeah.
Ring is pretty common.
Most people have.
Most women have a ring.
But you know, this happened not too long ago on my street. Alav Shalom,
corpses.
Yeah, what's his name? Spiesman, and he passed away on a Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Very nice man.
Right?
Very nice man. No,
yeah.
In his house. He was in his house.
Is that also the guy who wrote that book?
Yeah. Sorry, he
passed away?
Yeah, he wrote all the...
Okay, guys, let's get back. Let's stay on topic. Yeah. Okay, here it brings on all those halachos. It's the same thing, right? Now, it's interesting. What you might say, wait a minute, what about the clothing he's wearing? Isn't that a non-muksa item? So why do you have to put a challah on?
That's a good question.
There's already clothing.
No utility.
So some posts can hold that the clothing on the body is the required non-muktza item.
Well, you need it for something?
No, so you don't need the
instead of the challah, instead of the other
baby,
thing,
you don't need the baby.
But the whole idea is that you need it for something, don't you?
You can use
clothing. You can try it on, man.
Man, I'm not taking
that. So according to that opinion, you don't need to put another item on the body to move it. But that's a minority opinion. Most poskim regard the clothing as part of the muksa and require another non-muksa item to be placed on this. So therefore, if, let's say on Shabbos, you're afraid the body will start to decay, you know, before being removed from the house, so the body can be moved with a non-muktzah item to the air-conditioned, let's say an air-conditioned room, a stone floor, another cool place.
Does it help to get a non-Jew to move the body?
Well, it doesn't matter once it's allowed.
This is all the rabbanan, not the right
thing. It says, in case where the body may be moved together with a non-muktzah item, you can ask a non-Jew to move the body even with a non-muktzah item.
Right.
So you can have a non-Jew do it.
I don't understand why you got so much problem. This is all the rabbanan, not the raisa, right? With muksa.
So? You have to listen to what the rabbis say.
No, but in Rabbanan, in other cases, when we had all these issues with the drugs and the health and all these things that was
okay, but, nope.
Kind of
but the guy's dead totally already. The guy's dead already. What can you do for him?
But that's why the Zohar brings this leads to danger.
Because
they find
Let's go on, guys. Next. Where are we up to now? Chav Beis.
It's a dead issue, isn't it?
Hayamuto Bahama. Let's say the body was sitting out in the sun. And you're afraid it's gonna deteriorate, and it'll be a bazillion for for the body and for anybody who's around.
So there you go. There's your sakana nefasha.
No, it's not a sakana nefasha. It's a bezoyon. It's not a sakana nefasha.
Sure, a decomposing body is a sakana nefasha.
It's not. It's not. Not in one day, Howard. It's not going to decompose in one day to such a point where it's going to be a danger to life.
Unless he was rotten to begin
okay.
with.
Okay. Vein lahamakom latantlo. But now there's no place to put the body. For whatever reason, you have a lot of chalas and a lot of babies, but no place to put the body. Or for whatever reason, they don't want to move the body. So here's an unusual case. I don't have it exactly, the exact scenario, but you get the idea over here. What happens? So now you got to create a scenario where you... Now, are you allowed to cover, put a tent over the body?
Why not?
Because you're making a tent. It's a biblical prohibition. So what he's going to describe is a non-direct way to create the tent to cover the body, but it doesn't look like you're doing it for that purpose. And that's what he's going to explain. What happens? Two people go over to the dead body. So they sit, each of them, on one side of the dead body on the floor. And then they stay for a little while, but boy, this hot, this floor is hot. Man, my bottom is really burning, and I want to be able to be more comfortable. Cham lehem lamato, so it gets hot from the bottom. So of course, zem vevi mitaso v'yoshav alel. This one brings his bed, his chaise lounge chair, and he sleeps on it, lies on it. Obviously, it's an eruv, right? Zem maybe mitaso v'yoshav, and then this guy brings his bed. So now we got a bed on each side of the dead person. Well, they sit a little bit longer out in the sun. Now what's going to happen? Cham lehem lamal. Now it's getting hot on top. It's hot on top. So zem maybe machzel. So this one brings a map. Uporeis al gabov and spreads it over him. Because then maybe Machzelus uporeis al gabov and spreads over him. So now we got a bed and a mat. Now I don't know exactly how this works next, but you know, I guess, you know, their beds and mats are different than ours. So then they're, okay, we're finished with our little rest. Now I want to leave. So I gotta get rid of the bed and get rid of the mat. But I don't want to remove it totally. So Zez Zokev Midasos, this one stands up the bed.
Oh, I understand what they're doing.
You stand up the bed on its side. Okay, all right, and because the beds are made of straw or reeds, whatever, so this is going to be able to be spread out. Upores al gabov, and you spread. I'm sorry, v'nishmat v'olech, and it falls and goes v'nishmat, and he drops it down v'olech, and he leaves. V'zeh zokev mitaso v'nishmat v'olech, and this one stands up the bed and he slips away and leaves, and then I guess somehow the mats. Somehow are left in between the two beds or whatever. I don't know exactly.
Suspended between the two.
Yeah, somehow suspended between. And it comes out you've made a mechitza that evolved by itself. This mat and that mat, gageim, smuchusada, become the roofs next to each other. And then the two sides are on the ground on the two sides of the dead person. I don't know exactly how it technically works out.
And this is to keep the body cool.
That way you keep the body cool, you create a shade. Now we can't lechat chila do that initially, you can't make this because you're not allowed to erect the abinion. But it's kind of, you leave it and it kind of just falls into place as it were. So that's how you indirectly make that happen.
It wasn't your intention.
Well, no, it's like we had before with a fire. Anyone who wants to make a trick is allowed to make a trick. So you're going out of your way, so, you know, in a circumvented way, so then that's okay. To go straight out and just put a roof on it, that's your mom should make a roof. But he sat down and this and just stepped it up and it became a roof.
You see what the Magen Abraham says, though, in the Shulchan Aruch? It says
which
you don't have the kuf tzadikei.
Yeah, so then they say, if you don't have lechachil, you could do it for the body not to decompose. If you don't have it, you could do it. But
if you don't have the beds, you mean just the mat?
No, if you can't do it in the indirect way, then you can do it directly.
So disrespect to the body.
Why go through this whole room?
Because if you can do just it, like the same with the kikar and the tinok. Yes. If you have a kikar and tinok, you should do that. And if not, you can carry it straight up. Okay. Always do it in the least prohibited way, because try to make it easier.
So we can put cold items on the body. How about, it's in the winter, can you go out and get some snow and put the snow on the body?
Yeah.
Why not?
Probably. Yeah.
Why
couldn't we have just covered the body with a sheet, a mattress, a carpet, or something?
Because that won't work, because that'll make the body hotter. You have to give it shade, not warmth. Yeah. If you put something on the body, that will only make the body hotter. Therefore, you have to make a roof, and that's shade, but nothing's touching the body.
Using the air,
anything on the body makes it decompose faster. So you want to shade it and not cover it. Chav Gimel. Now, let's say, Mace Shehisriach Babayis. Let's say there's a dead body that is decomposing in the house and is beginning to smell. V'nimtza Mizbaza Benachayim. It is becoming disgraceful. Disgraced from the living, and they become disgraced by having to confront such a thing. So now, what are you allowed to do? Now, there's a separate issue now. Let's say you want to get out of the house, and let's say you do one of the permitted ways. But going out of the house means it's going out of the Rishus HaYochid, private domain, and there's no Eruv outside the house. Now you have a new problem. So mutter lo tzi'il karmelis, you can take it out into a karmelis, because it's only a rabbinic prohibition, that's okay. Say the other Mephorshim, they say, now, let's think for a minute. Why could you not take it into Rishus HaRabim?
Obviously a Mubraisa.
Wait a minute. According to Reb Shimon, who says that if you do a Melacha Shenet Tzricha Legufo, if remember, if you dig a hole for the sand and not for the hole, you're not Chayiv according to him, right?
According to him.
Right, okay, hang on. Now, if I'm carrying the body out, am I carrying so I want something in the Rishus HaRabim, or carrying because I want something out of the house?
You want something out of the house.
So that is what we're calling what a malacha she'enet tzricha legufo. So according to Rav Shimon, it would be allowed to put it into a Rishus HaRabim. But the Rambam doesn't hold like him. So that's why the Rambam doesn't give us that eitz. But we hold like him. So we could even put it into Rishus HaRabim. Okay, it doesn't have to only be a karmelis. Why? Because Godel, Kavod HaBriah, is so important, is giving respect to humanity, even dead humanity. It nullifies a negative commandment of the Torah, which negative command are we dealing with over here? Do not deviate from what the rabbis tell you to go right and left, meaning rabbinic prohibitions. In other words, the Torah says you have to listen to the rabbis. Right? Now there's a whole discussion below. This is really not the direct thing, because it's an asmachta, it's a reliance. It's not going to include this negative prohibition includes all decrees that the rabbis will make over the generations, which should include muksa. But so when it says a lo sase shebe Torah, it doesn't mean every lo sase in the Torah. It doesn't mean you can nullify every biblical commandment for kavod habrias. Only this one that says you listen to the rabbis. There's a biblical commandment to listen to the rabbis. So that biblical commandment to listen to the rabbis gets nullified for kavod habrias. But other things, other real negative biblicals, you could not transgress. Now, let's say the people got the dead body in the house. What if the people have another place to go? There's another house that they can go to. They don't have to be in this house and leave the dead body in the house. You're not allowed to take them out. Only if there's no other place for you to be. You have to stay in the house. There's no other house for you to be in. But if you can go next door, then leave the body there. Leave in its place, and you may leave. All right. Let's jump into the next. We've got another 2-3 minutes. Let's just jump into the next one.
We didn't seem to balance this with disgrace to the body and sanctity of the mace and stuff like that.
We've been lenient in certain cases. We normally would not allow you to carry it out if there's no kikur or
tino. Even this last thing about, leave the body to decompose, because if you can leave the house,
Is decomposing. It already has decomposed. Mace shehisriach. Anyway, that has already decomposed. So we can't undecompose it now.
Right.
The question is, we just want to get it out of here. It's a separate issue now. What we can do to stop before it decomposes, we do. But what if it's already decomposed? So now it's a disgusting looking body. What are we going to do now? One thing we don't want to see it right now.
Or smell.
Whatever it was the day before Chavis, I don't know.
We said 3 days
from vacation.
That's the scenario.
And there it is.
Yeah, that's a good example. No, he's already decomposed, right? It was a shut-in. I better check on grandma. Aunt Sue, and that's been 4 days. Ugh. And you come in, ugh. So that can happen. All right, let's just start the next chapter. Just
so we don't have to end on this note.
Right, on a little happier note. Perek Shiva Vesrim, chapter 27. Hayotze chutz litchum ha-medina b'shabbos. If a person goes outside of the city limits, and we will have to learn what a city limit is. That's going to be one of the things we're going to have to learn. But if you go outside of the city limits on Shabbos, loike, you get lashed. Shenemar, it says, al yetze ish mimkoimoy b'yoyim hashvi. When the Jews lived in the desert, Hashem told the Jews, no person should go out of his place on the seventh day. Well, that's wonderful. What does his place mean? So the rabbis say, Mokom said, this place, who? It means Tchum Ha'ir, the city limits. Okay? Doesn't mean he can't move at all. Now, there were the heretics.
The
heretics said, oh, you can't move at all. So they spent the whole Shabbos Azoy. You could just stay in your place the whole Shabbos. You can't move.
Cold food.
Because they learned the Torah literally, right? But we know that's not true because it says in the book of Isaiah, and it was from month to month and from Shabbos to Shabbos, everybody comes to bow down before Hashem. So you have to come to bow down before Hashem on a Shabbos. You can't very well stay in your place.
I guess they didn't know their place.
Right. So now what does that mean? It means the place is the place of the city limit. That is your place. Now, that's what the Torah says. So all we know from the Torah is that you're not allowed to leave the city limits. Now the question is, how far? Is it one step out of the city limits? You can't go out. How far? Well, Nosna Torah Shir L'Tchum said the Torah did not give an amount as to how far you can't go out of the city limits. Avol Chachamim had Tiku, but the rabbis bring down, Shetchum Zeh, what is this Tchum? Now don't get nervous. Huchutz L'Shnei Masor Mil, it's beyond 12 mil. The Tchum is 12 mil. A mil is approximately a kilometer. A mil is 2,000 amas. So machlokas, how big is an amas? An amas foot, between a foot and a half and 2 feet.
Right.
So how many feet in a kilometer? Right? You take 5,728 and multiply by 0.62. Who's got their computer here?
5,280.
What? Isn't that right? Time
5,280.
Oh, I'm sorry. 5,280.
5,280.
So 5,280 times 0.62.
Right.
Quick. Come
so
on.
It's about 3,270.
Times
0.62.
About 2,271.
2.
What is it? 6 to 1 if you want to be a little more.
3,273.6.
I was off by
60. All right. So now, 2,000 amis times 15 is 3,000. Times 1.5 is 3,000. Times 2 is 4. So somewhere in between, right? So if a kilometer is a little more than 1.5, so it's approximately a kilometer. If you want to be strict, it's a little less than a kilometer. You want to be lenient, it's a little bit more than a kilometer. It's approximately,
it's approximately a kilometer.
Right? And that's good to know because, you know, when you're walking outside of an area, you know, the telephone poles, how far are they apart?
1.6.
How far is what apart?
Telephone poles in Canada.
Didn't you say
standard?
Those big poles, a tenth of a kilometer.
Yeah,
really?
It's what tenth of a meter, right?
100 meters. So when we were in Godrich, and you know, you leave the house, right? So it's a lone road, and you're already out of the tchum. You know, going out of the house is already a problem. So you only got to 2,000 amas. So there was about 16 telephone poles on this one little road. It's about a mile and a half, a kilometer and a half road. So you knew we went 10 poles.
You're going underground, though.
They're not in Godrich.
So we knew we went 10 poles and that's it. You can't go any more than the 10 poles and walk back. And then
whether you're carrying something or not, just
you can't carry. Forget about carrying. It's walking. It's walking. Just walking. You cannot. So we'll see. We're going to see. You're out in the country. It's not so pushed. You have to know if you're in the city.
How many people in Bellevue get lashed every Shabbos?
We have an Erev.
I know, but
doesn't matter.
How about when you walk out of the air?
Yeah, people walk out of
the air. You walk out of the air, stop and say when you're not caring.
Okay,
but that's an issue you need to think about. Anyways, the Torah didn't tell us, but the rabbi says it's 12 mil. Now that's nice. That's 12 kilometers. That's a nice shtickle.
Yeah.
Keneged Machan Yisrael, just as to what the size of the Jewish camp was in the desert, from one end to the other, it was 12 mil, the Jewish camp.
You're saying you can walk 12 kilometers?
Hold it, but that's... Yeah, that's right. But, the Kacham LeMoshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo Teitzu Chusamach, don't go outside of the camp to the distance of the camp. But that is what the original position said. But then the rabbis came along and said, you know, that might be the biblical transgression, but it means you got a lot more leeway. But the rabbis were stricter, and they said, you can't leave from the city limits only 2,000 amas.
How many kilometers?
That's about 1 kilometer. Aval chutz l'alpayim amah, but more than alpayim amah, 2,000 amas. Osir, you can't. Shalpayim amah hu migrash ha'ir. Because alpayim amah is considered the pasture land around the city. Whereas a city would have pasture land around it. It's brought down in the Torah with the Ori HaMiklot and the Levite cities. That you had the pasture would be 1 kilometer out around the circumference of the city. So originally, so there's different, there's a whole discussion, I don't want to get into it right now, but there's different Gemaras that the Yerushalmi brings down this amount of 12 mil, and the Bavli does not bring down 12 mil. 2,000 kilometers is Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The Gemara says, well, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion, but not necessarily holds of it. But the end of the day is that the rabbi said, once it's 2,000 amos, you've transgressed, and that becomes the amount we're stuck with. How we measure that and all these other things, we will talk about next Sunday, God willing.
Can I just ask, Rabbi?